Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Thank you, church. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to Nehemiah as we are quickly, sadly, approaching the end of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 11. What this list of difficult-to-pronounce names teaches us about the gospel. I decided to just be sort of transparent, right? That's what is going on here. What this list of difficult to pronounce names teaches us about the gospel. And I remember I used to listen early in my work career and my first jobs. I traveled a great deal, like had a large sales territory, and I would spend a whole bunch of hours and hours and hours every day in the car, driving. And between 11 and 2, I would listen to, wasn't it 11 to 2? Rush Limbaugh, right? Any of y'all? Rush Limbaugh? Yes, you're nodding. I loved to listen to Rush. That was a great, great thing. And Rush would talk about it, made me think of this passage, but he would talk about, and I think there's a point to be made here, that he would talk about that oftentimes in Washington, the politicians would view areas like the areas we live in as flyover country. You know, they'd really pay attention to New York and Chicago and Dallas and Houston and, you know, those San Francisco and Los Angeles, those big, big cities, and how oftentimes they were out of touch. And they viewed, I remember him talking about, you know, we're in flyover country, which means they just fly over us on the way to, you know, you're on the way from Miami to L.A. or whatever, and you might fly over the Wiregrass. By the way, in some ways, let's just keep it a secret how good it is down here. Some of that, like, yeah, you just judge us that, like, you don't know how good life is here. But flyover country, and I've thought a lot, Nehemiah, and certainly Nehemiah, oftentimes we think, like, the mega cities, you know, of the Bible would be like the Gospels and the New Testament letters. Maybe Psalm, we might throw that in there, but the rest of the Bible is flyover territory. I think we might be guilty sometimes of neglecting Scripture. So, you know, I've been reminding myself, and I remind you that Nehemiah 11 is it's not in the Bible by accident, and it's not unimportant, and it I believe will always, if we're going to understand Scripture, take the Spirit of God illuminating the Word of God so the people of God, right, can see wonderful things in God's Word. But I believe passages like this, the Lord humbles us because it's not readily apparent what all is going on, but I think there are special blessings to our study of passages like this. So what this list of difficult to pronounce names teaches us about the gospel. It's a rather long passage. I'm going to let you stay seated, and I'll start here, Nehemiah 11, the word of the Lord. Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9/10 remained in the other cities. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Now these are the heads of the provinces who lived in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah each lived on his own property in their cities. The Israelites, the priests, the Levites, the temple servants, and the descendants of Solomon's servants. Some of the sons of Judah and some of the sons of Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. From the sons of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalalel, of the sons of Perez, and Messiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kol-Hoza, the son of Haziah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joirib, the son of Zechariah, the son of the Shalonite. All the sons of Perez who lived in Jerusalem were 468 able men. Now these are the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Padiah, the son of Kaliah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Jeshiah, and after him, Gabbai and Salai, 928. Joel, the son of Zichri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Hasanua, was second in command of the city. From the priests, Jediah, the son of Joiarib, Jachin, Sariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merioth, the son of Ahitub, the leader of the house of God, and their kinsmen who performed the work of the temple, 822. And Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pelaliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Malchijah, and his kinsmen, heads of fathers' households, 242. And Amasiah, the son of Azarel, the son of Azah, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer, and their brothers, valiant warriors, 128. And their overseer was Zabdil, the son of Hagadolim. Now from the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrakam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni, and Shabbathai, and Jozabad, from the leaders of the Levites who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, who was the leader in beginning the thanksgiving at prayer, and Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun. All the Levites in the holy city were 284. Also the gatekeepers, Akub, Talmon, and their brethren who kept watch at the gates were 172. The rest of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, each on his own inheritance. But the temple servants were living in Ophel, and Zihah and Gishpah were in charge of the temple servants. Now the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, from the sons of Asaph, who were the singers for the service of the house of God. For there was a commandment from the king concerning them, and a firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. Pethahiah, the son of Meshezabel, of the sons of Zerah, the son of Judah, was the king's representative in all matters concerning the people. Now as for the villages with their fields, some of the sons of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba and its towns, in Dibon and its towns, and in Jekabzeel and its villages, and in Jeshua, in Moladah, and Beth Pellet, and in Hazar Shul, in Beersheba, and its towns, and in Ziklag and Mekona and its towns, and in En-Rimmon, in Zora, and in Jarmuth, Zanoa, Adullam, and their villages, Lachish and its fields, Azekah and its towns. So they encamped from Beersheba as far as the valley of Hinnom. The sons of Benjamin also lived from Geba onward at Michmash and Azah, and Bethel and its towns, Anathoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittaim, Hadid, Zeboam, Nebalet, Lod, and Ono, the valley of craftsmen. From the Levites, some divisions in Judah belonged to Benjamin. The word of the Lord from Nehemiah 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We profess and acknowledge that it is true. It is altogether true. It is clear. Lord, even as I read that, we pray that you would make it more clear to us today. It is sufficient. It is profitable. It so clearly reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray today that he would be high and lifted up in his church, and he would draw all men unto himself. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us clearly from your word. You would do the work in us that needs to be done for us to be more like Jesus. And even as the songs we have sung, the scriptures we have read point to, Lord, thank you that Jesus is coming again. And thank you for the great, great hope that we have in him, and we pray this in his name. Amen. You might say, after reading some passages where that's altogether clear, I can connect the dots. If you're like I am, you don't feel that way after me reading, and hopefully I was faithful to pronounce. I did the best I could, okay, on those pronunciations, what this list of difficult to pronounce names teaches us about the gospel, and we don't want to have any flyover text books in our Bible. Romans 15:4, I keep coming back to this, and this is one of those verses that ground us in encouraging us onward in studying all of Scripture, and in particular, you know, we've made it our custom. I think this is book Nehemiah. Lord willing, when I finish that, will be 22 or 23 books that I've been able to preach through, and, you know, we go a New Testament book or two, we First and Second Thessalonians next, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, and trying to maintain a balanced diet. And here's a great encouragement that keep handy, Romans 15:4. I keep coming back to this when we study Old Testament passages, because this was written, Nehemiah 11, you know, we're thousands of miles removed and thousands of years removed from Nehemiah 11. And then we might think, is there anything for us to learn here? Well, Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written, Nehemiah 11 is included in that, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. And we can lean into that. Nehemiah 11, God says, is written for our instruction. Look, so that, for a purpose, to instruct us, not so that we'll just have a higher biblical IQ. You know, I want to study Nehemiah 11 so I can do, you know, well at Bible trivia, not the purpose. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. This is going to enable us to press on, to persevere, be encouraged, and have hope. That's God's intent for our passage. So what does this list mean? These difficult names, what does this teach us about the gospel? Well, let's get right to it, and Lord, help what I have to say about this text be faithful to the text. Number one, that God is preparing a people to live with him forever. This list, this chapter teaches us about the gospel, that God is preparing a people to live with him forever. So think about this. Nehemiah, so many people, I was blessed to have lunch with Brother Al Miss Kim last week, Brother Al Jackson. He, of course, he always asks, like, what are you preaching? And I told him about Nehemiah, and then I started, like, I need to tell him something about Nehemiah, but he enjoyed preaching through it. He said when he preached through it. But Nehemiah, we just, if you catch a Christian in the hallway at church and say, what's Nehemiah about? We will say building a wall. And when we need to have a stewardship campaign, maybe raising money, when, you know, building a wall, building a, someday we might have a, Lord willing, out there a fellowship area, you know, we can do a meal and bridal, wedding, what am I, receptions or whatever we might have. So we might be like, well, let's just go find a text. And by the way, all that's, but Nehemiah, listen, God is not particularly interested in just building walls and building cities for the sake of bricks and mortar. He could speak into existence. You know, if God decided today to speak into existence 100,000 new cities, he could just do that. And so Nehemiah is not primarily about building the wall. When we get over in 11, we start seeing God's building the wall because God's got a name that's famous and should be famous. And by the way, look there at Nehemiah 11, verse 1, the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem. So God's people have been in exile because of their sin. He's bringing them back. He's saving them. He's redeeming them. He's bringing them back to himself. So to a place where his name will be famous and his people will dwell. The leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city. Jerusalem, the holy city. So it is a place, it's a place where God's going to dwell. If you keep going in Scripture, what does this teach us about the gospel? Well, listen, there's a gospel theme running that God is preparing a people. God wants a people to live with him forever. How about that? the company I used to work for, we had a hard time getting people to reload. They did in this time. 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem. Look, they cast in lots. People didn't want to live in Jerusalem. They used to say, look, if you want a promotion, you need to move. Because they would say Dothan's flyover country. A lot of people think bad about where we live, don't we? They'd call it low flow. They'd say you can't get good people in areas like that. I take offense to that. You are good people. Well, I think you're good people. Maybe you need to. Are y'all awake? Y'all are good people. And we live in a good place. But we couldn't get, you know, they'd come down to places like this. Like, look, if you want to move up, David, you got to move. Because there's nothing else you can do for this organization here. You just can't. And so I read that. And so, listen, God, there, he's about to relocate all of us. I am bound for the, how many of y'all knew that? Get out. Everybody in the church knew that. That's good. We are bound for the promised land. We are, and by the way, I think eternity, we're going to be right here in a redeemed wiregrass. New heavens, new earth. Stay tuned. But we are bound for the promised land. And by, so God's been building the wall. We give all this attention, and God miraculously did that. But now he's populating the city because he's preparing a people to come and fellowship and live with him forever. We get to be God's friend. The leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city. And I told you it's a gospel theme. All about the gospel is God is God is king, God has a kingdom, God has a people. Listen to how it all ends. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Now, you can do two things at one time. You still at Nehemiah 11? Look at Nehemiah 11, 1. Cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, comma, the what? Holy city. Don't you want to live in a holy city? Wouldn't that be a great thing to run on? Dothan, the holy city. Wow. There's not, yeah, my door was locked last night. Was yours? I just don't trust everybody's in Dothan's holy. Do you? They'll come take your stuff. To live in Jerusalem, the holy city. Now listen to this in Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw, this is the end, y'all. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And look at verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Nehemiah gave us a taste of that, didn't he? And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Down to verse 10. John said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the, what? Holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And so I think the theme running in Nehemiah 11, of which Nehemiah 11 is a part of history where God's doing that, he's preparing his people. So he in Nehemiah 11, God's getting ready to go silent in the Old Testament for the New Testament, for Christ to come, John the Baptist, the forerunner, and then Christ to come and God's great salvation plan and populating Jerusalem, the holy city, is part and parcel of that. By the way, I want to live with God forever. I want you to live with God forever. You don't do that by accident, by the way. There's so many things in life that will take care of themselves, right? It will not, salvation does not take care of itself. It takes divine intervention, miracle. The human side, you got to repent of your sins. You've got to come clean. You are all that the record says and worse. Wretched, filthy, damnable. You, me, that's who we are. Man, I came to church for him to tell me that because I love you. But if we will repent of our sins and place our faith in Christ, we will be reconciled to God, and we will be part of that people that's going to live with God forever. Listen to this about our future. John 14, under this first point. Jesus, on the way to the cross, do not let your heart be troubled. Remember, they're sad that Jesus said he's going away. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I love how I learned that in King James. Are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For listen to what Jesus said. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This list of difficult to pronounce names teaches us first about the gospel that God is preparing a people to live with him forever. And he's populating Jerusalem, the holy city, and that's a type of what's going to happen at the end. Second, this list teaches us that the best way we can invest our lives is in service to Christ. It teaches us that the best way we can invest our lives is in service to Christ. You say, well, how does it teach us? We'll go back to Nehemiah 11, verse 1. So the leaders of the people are living in Jerusalem. So walls built, exile, you know, we're getting, you know, end of exile, people are coming back, not a popular thing. Jerusalem is not a inhabited place, it's a broken down place. So the leaders of the people are living in Jerusalem. But the rest of the people, they're not in a hurry to do that. They're having to cast lots. God had them cast lots, and, you know, 1 out of 10, hey, you got to move into Jerusalem, the holy city. 90% stayed out in the suburbs, remained in the other cities. But look at verse 2. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. That's remarkable. Hey, Anderson family, drew your lot. Come on in. Y'all got to move in here. Okay. I just picture that. It's like, Cavender family, Rick's like, me and Carrie will move. And that's what's going on. Do you get that in the text? The people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. And so I'm mindful, so I can, you know, I've had people sometimes tell me like, hey, do you know you say this word or this phrase? So I don't want to, and if you got a list, you probably won't bless me by showing me, you know. But this quote I probably overuse. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It hangs in our kitchen, wherever our table is, whatever. It's one big room, but it's there. And I love this spirit. So you got God's working. The wall's been built. People are moving back. And somehow the city's not populated enough. They have more space, they have more city than they have people, and the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. So to dwell in Jerusalem at this point was a sacrifice. If you got to draw lots, okay, Logos, 1 out of 10 of y'all got to go, you know, have Sunday school on the bus. Okay, my name, you picture that. It's not an attractive thing. And so many times we've got a value system that's too grounded. I'll tell you, one of my deterrents from being as kingdom-minded as I need to be is being too temporal-minded. And I just love that spirit that those who had a perspective volunteered to make a sacrifice to move into Jerusalem at a time that was not a real appealing thing to do. So for, I would say, and back to the sermon title, what does this list of difficult to pronounce names teach us about the gospel? Is that the best way we can invest are keeping track of the air conditioner filters being changed in the church. Do you know there's a lot of them? Every time we order, I'm like, oh my word. Well, somebody, what about the fire extinguishers? Do y'all know if that fire extinguisher is current? I don't expect you to. There's a deacon that knows that. And so here's what I want you to see. In Nehemiah's day and in our day, service for the Lord is noted by the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, sometimes it's not noted by us. You ever do something really, really sacrificial and nobody notice? I have, and you're sort of like, it's what you feel a little bit like. Or then, even worse, God lets this happen, somebody else gets the credit for what you did. You know, Billy, not Lucas, just general name. You know, Billy hadn't done anything in 3 months. You did it. And they said, what a great job, Billy. And you're like, excuse me? No, I love this. We all feel that way sometimes. That's sinful. We shouldn't feel that way. Service for the Lord is noted by the Lord. You say, well, this principle, David, and you got people over here that are charge of the outside work of the house of God. You've got, drop down to verse 21, the temple servants who were living in Ophel, Zihah, and Gishpah were in charge of the temple servants. Drop down to verse 22. You got this from the sons of Asaph, singers for the service of the house of God. Drop down to verse 23. You got song leaders day by day. You just got God's work being done by all kinds of different people. And service for the Lord is noted by the Lord. And you say, well, does that principle carry over into the New Testament? Yes, even blown up even more. Even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name is as unto him. How about that? Pretty cool, isn't it? That ought to inspire us to like get on board. Service for the Lord is noted by the Lord. Eight, and finally, this list teaches us that the Lord's work utilizes all the gifts he has given. The Lord's work utilizes all the gifts that he has given. We've got temple servants, we've got singers, we've got song leaders. Look at verse 19. Also the gatekeepers. Now, I don't know what all, by the way, there's a security aspect of that. We also have a robust safety and security team. But look at this. The gatekeepers, Akub, Talman, and their brethren, they kept watch at the gates. You don't have to know Hebrew. You probably did then, but now I'm talking about. I don't think you have to be a Hebrew scholar to be a good gatekeeper. Right? And by the way, if I'm honest, I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody, but it's who I serve that's so remarkable. So this eighth point, the Lord's work utilizes all the gifts he has given. You say, what all kind of gifts has God given? I'm like, man, that's a long list. And by the way, I don't think anywhere in Scripture do we get an exhaustive list of gifts. It's like all the things the Lord needs done, he's gifted people to do them. Where we get in trouble, two primary areas: neglecting the gift we have, or second, wanting some gift that God has not given us. I think those are the two pitfalls we need to avoid. But I just love this. It's like, hey, we need the city. We need people to move into the city. And like, we don't want to do that. We're fixing to cast lots. Y'all moving. And there were some people said, you know what, we'll move too. But then they got in there, and wouldn't you think, I would think, that Asaph and his family, song leaders day by day, they could have been like, you know, hey, we lead the songs. Well, Cub and Talman could have said, we keep the gate. If the bad guys come in, you won't be singing any songs. I mean, I don't think they might would have said that. I don't know. But that gets the point. What do you need? Do you need gatekeepers or song leaders? All the above. You need people with all myriad gifts. I love this. The Lord's work utilizes all the gifts he has given. Applying the word, we'll summarize, and hopefully we have been faithful to this wonderful, wonderful chapter. Thinking about that first truth, be encouraged. Though the path is often difficult, we are headed toward a glorious future. Be encouraged. Though the path is often difficult, we are headed toward a glorious future. Jesus has already gone ahead and is preparing mansions. How about that? And by the way, we're going to sing in just a minute. We're almost home. Church, we are almost home, aren't we? And I know, oh my word, so many who have already gone, home. Somebody ought to shook me in an earlier point in life and said, you don't realize how fast life's going to go and how fast a lot of the people around you are going to go home. I don't know if I'd have listened, but hey, young people go home fast. Yep. Be encouraged, though the path is often difficult, we are headed toward a glorious future. Not future. Listen, back to that first point. God has prepared a place for us, y'all, and if we're in Christ, we're going to go live with him forever. That's good. Second, invest our lives in service to Christ, knowing that God will richly reward us. Man, just like throw yourself into service to Christ, and we will never, ever regret that service. Third, man, you could sit through church. You could do that every Sunday and miss Jesus. Trust in Jesus alone as he is worthy of all. He is indeed worthy. Repent of our sins and trust in Christ. And for those of us that have been born again for a long time, that's just continual pattern of repentance. and trusting in Christ. And if you've never done that, an invitation for you to do that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, or a difficult passage from my perspective, from our perspective, to get our minds around. And you're God, we're the creature, and so we're okay with that, Lord. We sure don't think we can explain you fully. Thank you that you've given us a clear word, and Lord, there are several things that are clear in that chapter. And Lord, you, even in Nehemiah's day, Lord, you scattered the people into exile, and then you drew them miraculously back to Jerusalem. And what a picture of what you have done for us in Christ and what you will do. We thank you for your care for each of us individually. We thank you that you have gifted us with gifts. We thank you, Lord, for the, Lord, even the opportunity before us. Lord, somehow we're able to volunteer or not. And how noteworthy it is that those folks in Scripture who volunteered to make a sacrifice, Lord, were, the text said it was, they were blessed by the people. Lord, that even stood out to those that were around them. And so help us to be quick to volunteer, to invest our lives in your work, in your ministry, in your mission, in faithfulness to you wherever you placed us. Thank you for this body, Lord. Thank you for how you've given all kind of different gifts. And Lord, we sure know we haven't arrived, but we are so thankful that you're doing a good work in us, and help us to be quick to do our part. Help us to be quick to volunteer to serve. And Lord, help us to take seriously the nearness of eternity. Lord, we can talk so much week after week about heaven that it almost could come across like everybody's going there. And Lord, we know the truth that we are, Lord, apart from you, we are sinful people. We know in your word is so clear that Jesus saves sinners. But the sinners that he saves are those who will repent and place their faith in Christ. And so, Lord, help us not to look to anything else other than Jesus. Lord, help us to, from the oldest to the youngest, Lord, to look inward to ensure that we are, in fact, in the faith, Lord, that we have been born again, that we are part of your family. And Lord, we want to see you save souls in our midst. And so we pray today, if there are lost people here, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. We thank you for King Jesus. We thank you that you that he has already gone ahead and has already prepared a place. And we thank you that he's coming again. And he promises us that he's going to receive us to himself, that where he is, there we will be also. And we rejoice in him and pray this in his name. Amen.